We're glad you're here, and appreciate Danny and Melissa working so hard on that and sharing that with us. And the whole idea for this series, I don't know if any of you watched the season premiere last week. A few of you did. The whole idea of the series is not that we're just in love with zombies here, but what we do want to see are followers of Jesus that tend to walk through life, that they are putting on this air that they're alive and everything's great, but inside they're falling apart. They feel dead. And I know every one of us, just as Melissa shared, we all feel that way at some point. Some of us feel that way right now. Some of us will feel this way later. Or you've been through this, you know exactly what we're talking about. Our hope is, as we go through this series, is that we will be able to just help you understand what the promises of Christ are within your life, and the promises of being able to walk with Him and being alive, not just being the walking dead. And many of us are really good at this. Many of us have learned how to put our makeup on. We've learned how to kind of walk through life and look like, you know, I makeup to cover up the zombie look, not the guys putting makeup on. And some of you do, you know, okay. But we've learned how to make ourselves look like things are better than they are. Would you agree? And some of us are thinking, man, I've been working all day just to look good this morning so people wouldn't ask me the question. I don't want anyone to ask me, because then it'll bring up all this stuff, and I'm not ready to deal with it. And so the whole goal of this series, and Scott has done a great job the last 2 weeks with The Walking Dead, and I'm going to share a few things with you today. Before we do that, I want us to pray, and I've asked if we could do this, but I want to pray specifically for one of us that are here today. His name is Dwight, and he's back here, and he said, I could do this, right? You said, I could do this. Dwight has just had surgery this week, 2 weeks ago, and had a part of his lung removed. And he's going to be having to go in sometime in the next few weeks. I'm not sure when it's going to be. He's going to have a portion of his leg removed just to stop the spread of just whatever it is going through his body. So let's pray for Dwight. As you can imagine, going through something like that would be incredibly difficult. And he has a lot ahead of him, but has a great outlook on life. And so let's just pray for Dwight just for a minute. Father God, I thank you for everyone that's here, and I thank you that you have called us into a life with you that can be alive. And God, our bodies, they so often as we age, and sometimes even when we're young, our bodies just seem to turn against us. And it's so hard to remember that life is not about the physical. It's about knowing you and walking with you. But when our bodies begin to break down, it's just so difficult. Just not to let that completely dominate our minds. I pray for two things for Dwight today. I pray, number one, that you would so empower him to experience your presence, that no matter what would happen to him, what would happen to his body, he knows he is alive with you. And the second thing, Father, I just ask that you would begin to do an incredible work of healing in his body, because the doctors don't know what to do. And Father, we pray that you would just carry him through these surgeries. Continue to give him the ability to live and have health. And Father, we just pray that you would just do an incredible work within him as he goes through this. Let his testimony as he walks out the other side be that praises you and leads others to see how great of a God you are, no matter what's going on in the circumstances around us. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you have given us. And Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get started, I wanted just to take a minute and brag on some people. One, band did a great job today, our worship leaders. I want to thank you guys for that. Great call on the Evanescence song, and great job with that. I mean, we need to put that and sell it out there. You guys are great, so thank you for that. And also, I just want to brag on our staff. I just want you to know you have one of the most talented staff on the face of the planet. They're not only great student pastors, worship leaders, and the whole shebang, leading groups, teaching. I just want you to know that your staff actually leads a double life. You didn't know this. So we can show you kind of what that looks like. We shot a little video, and I want you to see the other side of what we do on a daily basis to fight evil within the world. So, Sean, if you would just roll that would be great.
It's good. Victor, shotgun loaded. Hatchet's ready. Let's roll. The main thing is always be prepared.
Now, this is how talented your staff are. You would not believe how little amount of time went into planning, shooting, and editing that video. That's how good this staff is. And we appreciate our zombie that was involved in that. You're going to see a few more rules next week that we're going to share with you. So we had a good time. Leslie was our zombie, and you'll see her some more in the next one, too. So now you know how to survive a zombie apocalypse. First five rules. All right, let's get started. It's hard to recover from that, isn't it? It's just time to go. Let's just dismiss. Go eat some more food. But we're excited to keep moving in the series. Here's what I want to share with you today. Today, I want to talk to you about what is the difference in a person that is a spiritual zombie and a person who is not. What does that look like? What does it look like for a person who is following Christ? Should they look different from the people around them, or should they not? You know, one of the things you know about zombies, there's a universal truth. Number one, they smell bad. Can anyone attest to that? Well, how can you attest to that? Who here has seen a zombie and smelled a zombie? Oh, man, we are just... Oh, okay. They smell bad. They look bad. The fact is that when a zombie comes by, if you don't see him, what we think is you should be able to smell him, right? Now, is it possible that as followers of Jesus, we're living through life thinking people are seeing Jesus within our lives, and yet they cannot tell the difference between us and somebody else? Is that possible? So if you've got a Bible, open it up. If you want to follow along on our slides, you can do that. We're going to be starting with Romans 12. We've been going through that for this series. And if you want to follow on YouVersion, you can do that. If you have a phone or a tablet that gets internet access, you can follow along by typing in that address or clicking live in the app, and it will take you there. YouVersion is a great tool if you don't have it. It's a great opportunity to read Scripture. There's a ton of versions of the Bible that you can follow. There's also some audio versions, so if you're driving down the road, you can plug it into your car, then you can click on that version. It will read different passages of Scriptures to you. It's a great tool to have, and you can also email any of the notes that we've got today to yourself or to somebody else. So it's a great tool, and I hope you guys will use it. But let's open with Romans chapter 12. We'll try to get back to some kind of seriousness here. But look at verse 9. We're going to start with verse 9. It says this, and we could stop with the first sentence. It says, "Let love be genuine." We could stop there. We could spend the next 6 weeks talking about what does it look like for love to be genuine. Let love be genuine. Just let that soak in. You know, for a lot of us, we came up in a system or some kind of a religious culture that it was more about the way we looked and acted than the way we really were. Some of you guys are here because you had given up on church for a while. And you came and you said, "I'll give it one more try, but I know what church people are like. I know how they treat you, and I don't want to have that." And so you experienced at some point within your life this change of understanding what it looked like to follow Jesus from the way you were treated from supposed Christians and followers of Jesus. But if truly we embrace this, just this one idea, let love be genuine. Let it be real. What is genuine love? It's not something we have to make up. It's not that to your face I talk about how great you are, and behind your back I talk about how great you're not. Let love be genuine. It's the idea that I actually love you. I don't just stand up and say, hey, I love you, and never show it. But let love be genuine. Keep going. It says, abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. I'm sorry. I know you're getting something rubbing. Is that me? What's causing that? Is that my microphone? Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry about that. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I love that. Outdo one another. As if this is just part of what we do. This is just part of who we are. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now, I was thinking about this section of Romans 12, and I thought, you know, we could just go through the rest of this and we could break down each one of these phrases and talk about each one of these phrases. But, you know, every time I come to a list in Scripture, I get a little bit of a sinking feeling in my stomach. Does anybody else do that? I get this little sinking feeling like, how am I going to add more to my list? Does anybody else do that? I've got this list, and we started with the Ten Commandments, and now there's all these other things I'm supposed to do. And then I come to church, and I hear a sermon, and they add to my list, and I've got to do all these things in my list. And does anybody ever just get overwhelmed with the list? And then you've got that super spiritual friend that reminds you the things that you didn't do on your list. You know, those friends that make you feel good? Well, if I was a Christian, I wouldn't. You know, and then you're thinking, man, I'm not even good with the list I've got, and now I've got to make a bigger list. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to take a little different turn for these sections of Scripture. And sometimes when you're tempted to write down a list in the Bible, I put this down. Go to this next slide. When you're tempted to write down a behavior list in the Bible, first you have to ask yourself, number one, what is the purpose of this list? Is it simply to give you something to check off to make sure you have done all the things you're supposed to do? Is it just another list of this is what it looks like to be a good person, and I obviously can't be a good person because I'm not doing these things? Is that the purpose of the list? There are times that we have lists in Scripture that it wants to instruct us on how we live and behave, and we can make changes in the way we live and behave based on that list. But you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose of this list? Should I just add these to my already growing list of things I'm trying to change within my life? What is the purpose of the list? The second question you have to ask yourself, is there a bigger principle involved here? Is there something bigger, more overarching than just these simple little one-liners that I feel like I have to do all perfectly or I've failed as a follower of Jesus? And I think in this list, we find a bigger overarching principle. And that's what I want to kind of share with you. I think overall, if you take that and put it into one phrase, we could start with that first sentence simply, let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. Now, I know that some of you are good at this. You love everybody. Everybody loves you. Does anybody feel like that's who they are? Because I want to go to lunch with you and be around you more. Nobody? It is sometimes so hard because when I first say that, some of you already, faces came to your mind, right? I know someone I didn't love this week. I know somebody I'm not loving right now. I'm thinking about what I want to do to them. Yeah. There are times that we struggle with loving people genuinely. But yet I believe that's the bigger principle that's going on here. Look at all these things. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. That's just a general principle in and of itself. Love one another with brotherly affection. I don't mean the way my sons love each other. That's not the kind of brotherly affection that we're talking about. I'm going to knock you out. You know, that's how little boys are. But But love each other with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's all talking about love. Don't be slothful in zeal, but be fervent. Be ready to go. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. All of these things, let love be genuine. Now, here's the thing. If we go back to our list mentality, we're going to fail. And we're going to be frustrated. And we're never going to grow because we'll be stuck on some point in our list. We'll just go and go and go. I'm stuck here. I can't move forward until I move past this, whatever this is. I'm stuck. But what does it look like if love was genuine? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, this is what it says. And I think this is kind of where we take this. It says, therefore be imitators of God. Therefore be imitators of God. Do you know how huge that is? That the God of creation has invited you to imitate Him. That doesn't happen in religious structures. Because whoever's on top wants to stay on top. And they don't invite you to become like them. Rulers of nations don't like you to be imitators of them because once you begin to imitate them, they look for ways to get rid of you. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Not that we're equal with Him, but we can imitate Him as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I just want to stop on that image. I don't know how you all knew this, but zombies are supposed to stink. Wanda, we need to talk because I need to know where you've been. Oh. You know, they say don't ask a question if you don't know the answer ahead of time. I don't know where to go from there. We got another video we can show. I got to take a minute here. Therefore, let's read the scripture again. All right. Oh, thank you, Wanda. Zombies are supposed to smell bad. And I think this is an incredible image. When I read verses like this, and I talk about, everybody need a minute? Everybody need a minute after that?
Like you said, zombies smell bad.
Zombies are smell bad? Smell bad. This is falling apart. Let's start over. All right, let's go back to Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When I read verses like this, I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why it's doing that. Is it bugging me more than you all?
Yes.
Okay, good. I think how I just said that, but yeah, okay, good. When I read verses that talk about being a fragrant offering, for some of us, you know what that means. Your homes are just decorated with candles, incense, or different things that make your house smell good. And for us, we may have an image of, you know, something that smells good, that's nice. But instead, with some of the context of what's going on at this time in the history of the church, is they are very open and they are very familiar with what it looks like to offer sacrifices to God that they hope are pleasing to God. There's a number of different sacrifices that you can offer that range from killing an animal to burning a crop or burning incense, all things that are offered to God to demonstrate their love and their care for Him and their appreciation for His involvement in their life. And as we look through the story of Jesus, what we find is that Jesus is not going around trying to give people another lifestyle to follow. His teaching is not centered around another list or a better list that you can follow. Instead, His teaching is centered around experiencing this life recreation that happens because you know Him and because He gave His life for us. In fact, that's one of the core ideas behind all that we do here is we are nothing except what Christ has given us because He loved us. The fact that He loved us and He gave His life for us is something so outside the bounds of what you and I, most of us, can understand. Perhaps if you had an opportunity where you thought you were going to die and somebody else stepped in for you, although very few of us have had that experience unless you've served our nation in the military in some way, or perhaps you were just in a place that something terrible happened. Maybe you have a glimpse of the severity of somebody stepping in your place and saving your life. But for most of us, we really struggle with this idea that Jesus was a sacrifice for us. That we truly deserved what he got, and yet he did that for you and for me. And it says it was a fragrant offering. It was something that smelled good. Now, when I say fragrant, I mean it was whatever your good smell is. I don't know what your good smell is. When I was in high school, the good smell was Dracar. Does anybody remember Dracar? Leslie does. We grew up at the same time, so she remembers. And as a teenager, I would pour myself, and that was the cologne of the day. I don't know if I wears it now, but that was the cologne of the day. And what did teenage guys do? Guys, drown yourself in whatever's popular. And here's the thing. If you smell bad because you've been out running or working or doing something outside, you don't need a shower. All you need is more cologne. Amen? Can I get an amen? That's what my 11-year-old thinks. There he is right there. That was bad, wasn't it? I'm sorry. But that's what I did. We pour that on. And we think, I'm going to somehow cover up who I really am. And the reality is Jesus is not this covering scent. It's not this thing that we try to cover up who we are. It's actually replacing us with something that is just, he is the fragrant offering. He offers that for us. He gives us that and replaces whatever we are. And instead, we are covered by him. I wrote this down. Your list will never be long enough if you are trying to attain purity apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Will never be long enough. I will never be good enough. I will never do enough good things to over scratch out the bad things. Never. And if my goal is to write a list, and this is how I need to act, this is how I need to talk, this is what I need to say, and this is what I need to not say, and that my life is dominated with that list of things, you need to understand that list will never be long enough. And for some of you, depending on your background, your list is populated with different things than someone else's. Your list may be, I'm supposed to attend church, I'm supposed to bring my Bible. Whenever I was growing up, our list was, part of it was listed on the offering envelopes. You're supposed to invite somebody to come with you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And you're supposed to give your offering. And there was a place to write down, how much scripture did I read this week? You know, how much did I pray this week? And our list, and all those are great things that are absolutely vital to being a follower of Jesus. But when the list replaces a life that is changed by the Holy Spirit, then your list will ruin your life. And the more that we add to that list, that's why when I come to these passages, like in Romans 12, and I look at that and I'm like, I'm just not sure I love people genuinely enough. I don't know that I hate evil, because sometimes I kind of like it. Sometimes the things I know I'm not supposed to do, they feel awfully good, and I really would like to do that. I really want to love one another with brotherly affection, but there are some people that I just can't do that. When I come to lists like this, I just think, wow, what is this just to tell us how bad we really are and how impossible it is to follow Christ? And I think part of the answer is yes. It is impossible to do it on our own. And yet many of us are trying that right now. Some of us pick careers based on this. This is a good career. I ought to do this. This will make God happy with me. And you got in the career, and maybe it does make God happy for someone else, but for you, you're absolutely miserable. You hate it, and you wish you could get out and do something else. For some of you, your list is not so much about the church things. It's about, who do I treat well? Now, the people that I think are on the fringe, I think God loves them, so I'm going to treat them well. But the people that act super spiritual, I really don't like them. I'm going to treat them really bad. And we have this mindset in us that all of a sudden, I'm going to now not like the people I don't think are good Christians, and I'm really going to love the people that are kind of marginalized. And yet it says we're to love everyone. And so our list, they change. And the truth is, your list will never be long enough. It will never be long enough to be the person that you can be if the Holy Spirit's active in your life. There's something amazing. We talked a lot about this in our last series, Forgotten God. We talked a lot about the very reality that as followers of Jesus, we are not supposed to just be looking at ways to change our behavior, but the Holy Spirit will come and live within us and will change us, recreate us, make us into something different, make us into someone who says, even when life is falling apart, life is good because I'm with Jesus. That doesn't happen because of us. That happens because of the Holy Spirit within us. And so any list that we begin to add to, and let me be careful because I don't want to say, well, you just give up and you don't try to live a life of purity. But when you base your ability to succeed on your own ability to do all the right things, you will fail, you will be frustrated, and eventually you will give up. You will give up. Your list will never be long enough if you're trying to attain purity apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Never, ever, ever. What's the big idea that comes from that? It's just very simple. If I can leave it in just two words, imitate Jesus. Imitate Jesus. You think, well, then, did you just not make my list about 10 times longer than it already was? And you just said that lists don't work. And the reality is, even Jesus, when things got hard for him, think about his time in the garden. Think about his time in the desert. Think about the time leading up to his torture and crucifixion. What did he do? He always went to one person consistently. And who was that? He went to the Father. He was always praying. He even in the garden looked over his disciples and he said, will you not just please pray with me? It says he was just so stressed over this. He was praying so fervently that he was just, his body was undergoing just this almost metamorphic change because it was like he was dripping blood. He was just so intent on his prayer. Even Jesus himself knew that to do it on your own is impossible, and he would go to the Father. For many of us, we're trying to do this on our own, and we are the walking dead in Chattanooga because we have tried to make this work on our own, and we cannot. It is about the work that Jesus does within us. There's two parts to this equation about imitating Jesus. How do we actually do this? And part one is this. There are some things that only Jesus can do. There are some things that only Jesus can do within your life to imitate him. You can't manufacture it. You can't pretend to be it. Instead, there are some things that only he can do. 1 John chapter 2, we talked about this in Convergence a few weeks ago. It says this, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, as if there's any question, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the atonement, the replacement. He took our punishment for us. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And then he sneaks this in. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. We'll know that we know him, that we know him, that we know him, when we're keeping his commandments. But yet before that, it says there's an advocate with the Father that covers you, that fragrant offering before God, that no one else could do but Christ. He has done that for you. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know, the idea here, and I know we've talked about this, but I think we forget this so often. The idea here is not that somehow, because we know Jesus, we have then reached some other list But the idea is that when God looks at us in our sinfulness, we had a great discussion Friday night at Convergence just about what does it look like to be sinless? Because none of us, we could all agree that we're here, none of us are sinless. And yet Scripture goes and says things like, you know, don't sin. Live and don't sin. And then we go, ah, yeah, failed again. Don't sin. But we have an advocate with the Father who covers us. It's as if Jesus looks, or God looks at us, and instead of seeing all the things that we think God should see, he just sees the covering of Jesus Christ. Our forgiveness. It's been said that we'll get to heaven one day and there are some people that won't be there that we think should be, but there will be some people there that we don't think should have been there because they didn't match up to our list. But we are covered by the advocate, Jesus Christ. He is the atonement for our sins. But he goes on, and that is what only Jesus can do. You and I will never be able to do this. What only Jesus can do. Part two is this. There is something that we can do. So there's two parts to this imitating Jesus. There's that part that only Jesus can do, and you and I can do nothing to help that along. It is Jesus alone can do that. But the second is at the end, at verse 3 of 1 John 2, it says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So there is a pursuit of purity that you and I have some role in as we read this. Our lives, I believe, are supposed to be similar to Jesus, like a fragrance to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says this, starting with verse 15. This is from the New Living Translation. The rest has been coming from the English Standard Version, but this is from the New Living Translation. It says, our lives, he's talking about us now. Now, you talked about Jesus being a fragrant offering, but now it's talking about us and our lives. Our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. Jesus is a fragrant offering for God, to God. But then Paul begins to talk about believers and followers of Jesus. Says, your lives are like a Christ-like fragrance to God. So the covering of Jesus is so fully complete that now you begin to smell like Jesus. Isn't that good? And yet, why do so many of us still smell like a zombie? And he says, you will not only be covered by Jesus, you will take on his fragrance to God. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up. Now, let me just, I don't want to try to read too much into this, but rising where? What does that say? Rising where? Rising up to where? To who? God. And I don't want you to miss that. A fragrance rising up to God. That means for God, you smell good. Someone else may not think you smell so good. But God, because of Christ, thinks you're worthy. And again, it's not that God just likes to smell and we're finding some kind of human characteristic that he has, but instead it is the idea of a sacrifice that was acceptable to him. You're acceptable to God, just as Christ was acceptable to God because of what Christ did for us. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Listen to this. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. This is where things get a little weird. They're perceived differently. To those who are perishing, those would be people who have decided to absolutely reject Christ. I don't have no part of this. I'm not going to follow Christ. I'm rejecting you. To those who are perishing, we are, listen to this, we are a Christ-like fragrance to God, but to those who are perishing, it says we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. All right, let's process that. To those who are not followers of Jesus smell really, really bad. The dreadful smell of death and doom. That makes no sense to me because shouldn't it be, if I smell good to God, I should smell good to other people? Does that not make sense? If God does not look at me as acceptable, should other people not automatically look at me and think that I'm acceptable as well? But he says, literally, if you become a follower of Jesus, and I struggle with this, and I know a lot of you struggle with this. My hope is that people who are not followers of Jesus will look at me and see something they want in their own life. And I'm hoping that not only will they accept what has happened to me, it will help them in their own lives. But this is not what Paul is saying. He's saying there are some that because you are now acceptable to God, they will think you are somebody to be avoided. And any lifestyle choice that says, I want everyone to love me, which many of us are struggling today, our primary struggle is to have as many people love us as possible. We feel like we are somehow not a whole person if somebody doesn't like us. If you're thinking, that's not me, but yet at the same time, you're thinking about all the people that don't like you, that is you. If our minds are just sweltering with all these images of people who are mad at us and don't like us or don't think well of us or have misunderstood us, then what you are striving for is to be accepted by people who Paul is saying they're not going to accept you. And yet what we have tried to do is somehow structure ourselves, our language, and our lives so that they will see us and accept us and hopefully accept our Savior as well. But what Paul is saying, they're literally, for people who don't get it, who don't want Jesus, they're going to look at you and think you smell like death itself and you are to be avoided. That does not feel good to me. This is not what I want to read in Scripture. I wanted to say something else. I haven't had the opportunity to edit it. God did not invite me to edit the Bible, although I think I could add some pretty good stuff in there. Amen? You're thinking, well, I don't know about you, but I sure could, you know? To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. Ah, that's just not positive. We live in a positive culture. I want to listen to positive people who smile a lot, not people who make really weird videos and... But to those who are being saved, it goes on, we are a life-giving perfume. All right, let that sink in. For followers of Jesus, who are around other followers of Jesus, you are a life-giving perfume. You smell good. You got Dracar all over you. I don't know if you can buy Dracar now. Somebody's going to bring me a bottle of Dracar next week, and I won't wear it. But, well, I will for old time's sake, but just once. You smell good to people who are followers of Jesus. Now, I think this is a double-edged sword, because this is one of the reasons we like to be around other Christians, and we like to avoid people who are not. I want to be around the people who think I smell good. I want to avoid the people who think I smell bad. So, if all my church friends think I smell good, let's hang out more. And that's what we've done as a culture. We have backed away from engaging the world, and we've hung out with the people that validate us. And by doing that, we have lost the central message to go out and share the gospel with people. And there are times that they are going to look at you and think you have lost your mind. You are going to be a life-giving perfume. And I love that, life-giving. It's the idea that this has been one of the worst weeks I have ever had. And by being with you, all of a sudden, I feel like life is regenerating within me. And it's not because you are all that. But instead, it's because Jesus is active within your life. The Holy Spirit is doing something amazing in you. The Holy Spirit is doing something in me. And when you bring us together, the Holy Spirit just somehow rewards that. And we see that in each other. And somehow we just feel life welling back up within us. And so that's great. And that's why we do get together. But sometimes we still have to go out to those who think we smell bad. And demonstrate what was the whole idea of Romans chapter 12, 9 through 13? Let love be what? Genuine. Not false, not fake, not forced. Let it be the real deal. I love that it says our lives are a Christ-like fragrance for God. That passage goes on. It says, and who is adequate for such a task as this? You see, we are not like the many hucksters, and this is where Paul's kind of defending himself. We are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. In other words, I'm not up here just saying this to get you to listen to me. This is real, true stuff. This is truth. Our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance for God. And as we also read on, that gives life to others who are following God. You are covered by the fragrance of Jesus that removes the putrid stench of sin. It's putrid. My sin is putrid. Yours is putrid. And Jesus does something amazing within us that turns that into an incredible fragrance for God. We are covered by Jesus in that. I wrote down a quote Friday night. She's not in here. She's sitting with our kids. But Jenny Mallett was teaching, and I wrote down a quote that she did. It was from Charles Spurgeon. I thought, man, this just fits to what we're talking about today perfectly. It says, "The grace that does not change me will not save my soul." What that says is, if this gospel is real, if this what he is saying and what Jesus has taught us is truth, then it will save our soul. And if it also says it will change us along the way, then we must trust that it will change us along the way. And what Charles Spurgeon is saying is, if it doesn't have the power to change you, neither will it later have the power to save you. It's either real or it's not. And so one of the things that I am very thankful for is, as I get older, one of the things that I benefit from, and this is why I think we talk about wisdom coming from age, is I have a lot better opportunity to process what has gone on in my life. Each successive year, I have more information. I'm a processor. If you know me, I process all the time. But as I get older, I get to look at a broader stroke of what my life has been, what Jesus has done in me. And I can't tell you how many times I've prayed, God, would you just do the things that others prayed for? Would you just at times change my heart? Because obviously I'm not changing it well. Would you just do it and let's just call it a done deal? And yet Jesus has never done that. I have never woken up one morning and just gone, I'm a completely different person. Now, I did when I became a follower of Jesus. On that day that I knew he was real and I said, would you forgive me for my sins and be my savior? Let me follow you. That day was a very different day than the day before. Now, I still struggled with some of the same stuff, but yet within me I knew something has changed. There's a difference. But since that day, I have never had a day when Jesus all of a sudden flipped the switch and all of a sudden I'm a different person. But what I have seen over the history of my life is I have seen how he has subtly moved me so that the person I am today is nowhere near the person I was on that first day. And he has begun to rearrange my priorities in my life, and he has used my circumstances at times to do that. Things that have been painful, sometimes things that have been incredible, and I can look back and see how he is changing me. See, one of the things I think we struggle with is we are in a society now that now values putting ourselves down. It is a terrible trend in our society to focus on our weaknesses and our problems and our faults. And if you get on now, there are, especially in younger generations today, it's like, let me brag about how bad my life is. It is so much worse than yours. And I just got to tell you, that is not fun. And it is not helpful. But instead, we are to see all the positive things that God is doing within us. And for some of us, what we need to do is we just need to stop and go back and trace what God has done and remember those things rather than sit here and look at all the work he still has left to do in us. Look at where he's brought you. You are now a fragrance before him. The grace that does not change me will not save my soul. If you are constantly questioning your faith, maybe you just need to begin to remember the ways God has changed you. I share with you there's a difference in how we're perceived to the world. Dreadful smell of death and doom to to disciples were a life-giving perfume. Here's what I really want to leave you with today. I want to leave you with the fact that as followers of Jesus, even if you don't see us coming, you should smell us coming. Our lives should somehow radiate something that is far beyond ourselves. And it shouldn't just be something that we cover ourselves up with to try to smell good. It should be the real thing, because you cannot cover it up. And by doing that, the world is going to see something different in us. And as much as I would like to think, now that I'm following Jesus, everything's going to be great, and everyone's going to just go, "Mark, you're just a great person, and we love you, and we just see the great things God is doing in you, and you're just great, 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 great." And I'd love that. That'd be awesome. I have yet to experience that in my life, but I'm really hoping it'll happen one day. But rather than reaching out for that, just recognize what Jesus has done within you and be that. Imitate him. Imitate Christ. Let love be genuine. And recognize there are people that are going to hate you for it, not love you for it. There are going to be people who think you have lost your mind, which is not new to me. People think of that about me all the time. My kids think that about me. Dad has lost his mind again. You know, I'm used to that. But it hurts when it's somebody that you think, "I've never done anything to you, and yet you think I've lost my mind." But you know, that's what they said about Jesus. If we imitate Jesus, expect to be treated like Jesus was treated. And I don't know if you know the whole story there, but it didn't end well for him in his little earthly journey with us. He was crucified. You are a Christ-like fragrance before God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And there will be people that you will be life-giving to. And there will be people that think you have lost your mind and you are a plague on society because you follow Christ. Don't try to be the person that everybody loves. I wrote down another quote from Friday night. I don't know if this was Charles Spurgeon or if this was just Jenny coming with this herself. She said, "Trying to act in a way that all people love you is to walk apart from Jesus." And some of you need to hear that. Trying to act in a way that all people love you is to walk apart from Jesus. Because some of you want all people to love you, and it just hurts you when they don't. What he's saying is that is impossible, but yet we should be different than the rest of the world around us. We should look different. We should smell different. For them, for some, it's going to be a good thing. For others, it's not so much going to be a good thing. But you are a Christ-like fragrance, maybe not to the world, to the whole world, but you are a Christ-like fragrance to God. Let me just end by reading that passage in Romans 12 again. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Let us imitate Jesus with our life, and these things will happen. Let us recognize the things that we should change and change those things, but also know that the only one who can truly change our lives is the Holy Spirit within us. The last note I wrote down was this. You will never truly be yourself as a follower of Jesus until you imitate the one that covers you. You will never truly be yourself as a follower of Jesus until you imitate the one that covers you. And in that, we have the invitation to be imitators of God. So let us do that. And rather than being people who are walking through life as the walking dead, let us be alive with the Holy Spirit within us. So that whether people think that we're a fragrant perfume or whether we are the stench of death and doom, Let it be known that we have the life of Christ within us and walk confidently in that. I want to pray with you, and then I think we have one more song to do. And here's what I want to pray with you. For some of you today, your response to this is different than everyone else. For some of you today, you maybe heard a couple of words here or there, but your mind has been a million miles away this whole sermon, this whole service, this whole morning. And I want you to know there is nothing that you are dealing with right now within your life, whether it be your health, whether it be your family, whether it be your job, whether it be what you had hoped for life but didn't work out. There is nothing going on within your life that Jesus does not want to be there with you through. And there is nothing within your life that he cannot use to help you grow in your fragrance. Nothing. For some of you, you're here, you're thinking, I've been going to church my whole life, and I really, really, really want to experience what it means to know Christ, walk with him, and experience the Holy Spirit within me. I really, really want to experience that, and I never have, even though I've been going to church my entire life. And I want you to know it is so simple, and yet it is so difficult at the same time. It is so simple. It is simply saying, Jesus, I recognize, I need you. Forgive me for all the putridness in my life. And save me. I know you died for me. Well, let me follow you and know you. And it's so simple. And yet it is so difficult, because to deny ourselves and follow Christ is the most difficult choice you will ever make. No one likes to deny themselves. I hate it. And yet the invitation is there. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. And just accept it. I found that oftentimes when things are the worst is when we are finally at the point that we're open to that. For some of you, you're just, man, things are going wrong, and you're going, I don't know what's wrong with you people. My life's great, and I just am thankful for that. But the time will come when things will not feel that way. And when that does, will you continue to have confidence in the one that has called you out of the darkness and into the light? We can have confidence in him. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. He is recreating us in his image. And that is a good thing. Would you pray with me? Father, God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for the fact that we can just make mistake after mistake, and yet you are still there to offer us an incredible amount of hope and peace. Father, I pray that there are those here today and they're ready to take a step and say, I'm tired of walking around here like things are together, and they're not. And I pray that you would begin to work an incredible amount of healing within their lives. Father, I just thank you for the invitation that we can know you and follow you, because Jesus Christ died for us. Help us to truly understand that and embrace it. I pray that we would be just a wonderful fragrance to you, even in our brokenness, even in our mess, even in all our problems. I thank you that we are just a fragrance offered to you. Father, I pray that for those that are here today and they're just ready to give up, and maybe today was the last chance. They're just not sure if this is real. They just haven't really experienced what it means for the Holy Spirit to be alive in them. Father, I pray that you would give them hope. And I pray that they would experience your presence in some tangible way today, that you are there and that you are working within their life. Father, I pray for us as a church that we would be a fragrant offering to you. Even if those around us may not validate what we believe in or validate who we are, but Father, I pray that we would be your church in this community to demonstrate the love of Christ. Let us as a community, let our love be genuine to others. Those that we work with, those that we play with, those that we live near, those that are in our family, let our love be genuine. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.